The following podcast has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope. The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
What's up, guys? This is the Murderhawk Monster, Lance Archer, and you are watching Perched on the Top Rope. And watch out, because I'll chokeslam you on the way
Welcome
down.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer Lee Walker, and joining me, as always, is our lovely, lovely co-host, KWK Sean. How you doing today, buddy?
You sound like I'm some kind of really hot chick and stuff. Just go, lovely, lovely. I'm, what are you? Are you a prick? You know, I have to remember when I used to live in the UK, right? You know, someone would be having some tea and stuff and go, lovely.
It's been a very long day. Oh, man. Your day's just beginning.
Yeah, I'm just sort of recovering from food poisoning after having a show with you last week. See the magic of Perched on Top Rope, you know, once you're done with a show and now I got food poisoning. Isn't that great?
Well, I'm going to knock on wood here, knock on this Hasbro bar and hope that I don't have anything like that happen to me. Well,
but I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, here I am.
Awesome. And, you know, while you were away with food poisoning, we had some things in the pro wrestling world go down. One of my one of my favorites is on one side of a halftime show, we have WWE Hall of Famer Kid Rock. Super Bowl halftime show. Former WWE 24/7 champ.
That's how sick I was.
Damn. Former WWE 24/7 champion Bad Bunny headlines the Super Bowl halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, WWE filmed Logan Paul asking if he would be watching Bad Bunny, and he gave a one-word answer of no, even though he was at the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's speculation that Bad Bunny's going to come back to WWE here pretty soon. Would you want to see Bad Bunny versus Logan Paul?
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, Bad Bunny's probably better than most of the celebs that came in and you know, do stuff with WWE. But he's still not convincing enough to me. I mean, like, at the end of the day, the most convincing celeb that ever came into WWE is probably Mike Tyson, right?
That's
fair. But to me, he's okay to do some stuff. So say, for example, as some kind of like a celebrity manager, you know, like he did before with Rey Mysterio, right? And you know, and then he does a little leap there, he does a leap there, you know. Just one or two things like that.
Yeah.
You know,
a couple of moments.
Yeah. But you know, you want him, I don't know, you want him to do a full match of stuff, it's just not my thing. Like I'm just gonna you know. I mean, with actual wrestling itself, I think, you know, Logan Paul surprised everybody already.
Oh,
but 100%. he was also trained right as well, because you know Rick Rogers trained him, right? So you know, at least I when he first started, I still gave him that benefit of doubt. But as far as Bad Bunny is concerned, you know, he doesn't have the size, he doesn't have the look. You know, it's sort of better that he just stays at ringside and, do one of these little pop-up moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Kind of like I Shall Speed is, you just like, doing one or two stuff. Royal Rumble getting completely wiped out by Braun Breaker. That's a good moment. Things like that. Well, he'll be better off, doing something similar, as far as I'm concerned. Getting some sort of sympathy from fans. So say, for example, he got beat up and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think he's done all right in the ring, but I would feel maybe, because like Logan Paul, maybe not be the right person with the vision and stuff, but maybe a tag team match,
Didn't they do that before? Like,
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have.
yeah. But still, like, he gets into the ring. It's not going to be like, ooh, that's going to be a big fight. It's going to go, ooh, look at that skinny dude. Right? So I'm just kind of like, I know he's got the pull. He's got an awesome, massive following. Don't get me wrong, but to me, it's just like, he honestly is way better off just, be at ringside, in my opinion. That's just me.
That's fair. That's fair. I could see him at most with a tag team match, but does Logan Paul have enough experience to lead a match?
That's my concern too. That's my concern too, because when you are in the ring, you are heel like that, you sort of have to really call it, unless you go the old full on Macho Man mode where, every single spot is planned. Like every tiny little bit of detail is planned to a point where, you have to write it in a little sheet of paper. Then I guess, but then you and the thing is, to me, is that a lot of the wrestling right now, you rarely get the calling in the ring stuff anymore. There's like pretty much everything is like all planned out, whereas like that's also why you get a lot of these crazy flippy floppy spots like everywhere as well. But do you really want that, like, in the long term? And we're seeing the effects right now. How that looks for wrestling.
Yeah, we saw how it went for Ronda Rousey.
I don't know which one is worse, her or Jade Cargill. Yeah, I don't know which one is worse, like between them, like in terms of the worst woman wrestling champion.
I'm pretty sure Jade still does not have a defense, right?
Exactly. Like, where the fuck is her? Like, is she injured? That one of her implants got burst or what? Like,
No, she did a tag team match with Jordynne Grace
right.
on SmackDown. Yeah, because she's on SmackDown. Wow. Shows how much I've been paying attention to wrestling lately.
That feels like that feels like it was Chinese New Year last year. And Chinese New Year just coming up like next week. So you can imagine. But it's just like, yeah, between Ronda and Jade, like, and I know Jade has quite a bit of backing, and I think people sees her because of her size and everything. I know for one thing, when she got into AEW, I think from what I have heard, Shaq backed her quite a bit. Because like her and Shaq were like really tight. So I guess that's sort of how she got a good spot in AEW. But here's also a problem. At the same time, she, if you have been wrestling for this long and you're still as crap as you are, I'm sorry. Like, maybe it's time to get the fuck out. But what can you do? I mean, Giant Gonzalez was in a WrestleMania, so couldn't be worse than that.
Yeah.
Never thought of that one.
That man just like, you get to a certain height and it's just like you can't move. And he was like one of those, he just didn't have the movement. He was just a spectacle and not a very good
Well,
one.
that's the thing is, that's what WWE went for with John Gonzalez, and at the time it worked. No matter how useless he was, but at least it worked. And especially, I still remember, doing those promos and stuff like that. They would put John Gonzalez a little bit further in the front of the camera, and then they slightly had Harvey Whippleman to go a little bit further back, so it looks like Harvey's like so tiny comparing to John Gonzalez.
Yeah.
But I mean, going back to the whole thing about Jade Cargill and Ronda Rousey. Like, Ronda Rousey is the perfect example that you can be a complete badass in UFC. You can be, you can look absolutely phenomenal in movies. But when you get into wrestling, I'm sorry, your fake punches are so damn bad that it make the Undertaker ones look like he was Muhammad Ali. And the ones that Undertaker did wasn't, there were a lot of them, those body shots that he did compared to Ronda Rousey. Taker looks a lot more legit. So,
Yeah.
when you can't even get the basics down, yeah, we got a problem.
Yeah, seriously. It's so funny that, it was the Rondo was the first person I thought of right away when, basically when it comes to rehearsed matches, because I mean they've even like I'm pretty sure she's like she's talked about it and stuff, and there's all sorts of footage of her, and things like that, training and everything, knowing the match like to a T, rehearsed. Some people tend to forget things, and botches happen.
I mean, wasn't there like some wrestlers? I think it was Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler, that I forgot who it was that mentioned that he doesn't remember stuff well, so sometimes he will have to call it in a match.
Yeah.
So, but his shit is good.
Yeah, right.
His shit is good. Like, people are comparing him to Mr. Perfect. I mean, I still remember there were some fans who were saying, he's so just like Mr. Perfect, but Mr. Perfect's son didn't sell quite like Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, Curtis Axel. He still has not been eliminated from the Royal Rumble, by the way.
I know, right?
Just
And
saying.
here we are after all these years. Yeah, he should have gotten the WrestleMania moment for
Yeah.
that. But he's busy doing backstage stuff, I think.
That's okay. That's okay. Now, here's something interesting that happened, slightly been picked up on, but not completely picked up on. Now, we saw Tommaso leave WWE to go to AEW. Well, recently, and when I say recently, I'm talking like within the last day or two, Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae have taken the WWE aspect out of their social media profiles. They have put up their business inquiries email, and Gargano is promoting his pro wrestling tee store again, which is, usually a no-no with WWE having those things because of, your name and likeness and all of that, with them then having your own shirts with your own store, kind of like a no, can't have it. I mean, Matt Cardona even closed down his website where he was selling all his merch. He had his own website. It appears that they could, or the rumor would be, Johnny and Candice don't re-sign with WWE and they join Tommaso over in AEW.
I mean, as far as their company hierarchy goes, right? What in terms of their spots, like they were being put in the back burner for quite some time, right? So, and honestly, I don't think there's much for them. There's not much for them right now in terms of the current WWE. I just don't see it. I mean, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with them? You're gonna put them in singles? Then what? I mean, both of them were even at the Rumble, right? So, I mean, it's only a matter of time. If you're not in Rumble, you're gonna see the writing on the wall. If they go to AEW, that's just like, hey, another small guy is going to AEW. Tony Khan
Yeah.
probably go, hey, you know what? I'll pay you. You know how much he loves small guys, but and there are just too many smaller guys in wrestling right now that it's sort of hard for Gargano to stand out, to be honest, especially WWE. So, even if he goes to AEW, I just, he can be Bryan Danielson level, in terms of wrestling, which he's still pretty far off. I'm sorry, he's still pretty far off. But whatever that he's going with, I mean, I hope to see him from this side one day. It's not like he hasn't wrestled in China before. In fact, he wrestled in Beijing. Yeah, he was in Beijing before. And I just think, I honestly think that, even if they go to AEW, it's going to be one of those situations where, you got to be hot for 2, 3 months and then you go sitting at the catering. It's got to be one of those deals. And I think, even right now with Tommaso Ciampa, right? He won the belt. And then now what? Right? I mean, people aren't talking about it. It's becoming like that in wrestling as well. And you're just like, okay, you make the news this week. You've done an interview after that. And then it's going to be like, okay, just sit and wait what happens. It's nothing hot come over me. It's not. So that's what the situation is as far as I'm concerned. So you're just like, yeah, let's just wait and see what happens. If they go to AEW, all the power to them, because they got the money mark to pay.
My whole thing is, and I agree with everything you said, by the way. I know that AEW is an alternative to WWE. It gives wrestlers jobs, it gives production people jobs, it gives a lot of jobs, right? There's wrestling fans that aren't happy with the product because there's no storyline, but yet they have the best matches. And that's why AEW says their moniker, this is where the best wrestle.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Right. The definition of best matches. Okay. I've come to a conclusion to one thing. To me, it's this. Right now, the perception of the best wrestling matches from modern day fans comparing to people who have been watching wrestling for, say, 40, 50 years, right, are completely different. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, Steamboat versus Flair, those were great matches,
Right.
right? Those were like absolutely great matches. You put them in the modern day wrestling, it still are very, very good matches to a point that you see the actual drama in the ring. You actually can process it along the way, right? I don't think you can do that with pretty much, I would say, 99% of the AEW matches. Like, you see it, just go, okay, yeah, done. You're not gonna be able to actually process it in your brain with picture by picture and picture by picture sort of stuff, because they just move too damn fast, right? So what exactly is the best wrestling match or the best wrestling matches? Right now, we have a very, very different standard from different people, as far as I'm concerned.
I have to agree with you. Because, you could pick a great match from any era and try and match it up to this era. It just, I'm always going to stick with the fact that, when we consider best matches, it's always going to be opinion based. Like,
Exactly.
there's no professional record of. Based on, but even again, it's going to be based on opinions of professionals, who
Right.
were in the business, still giving their opinion of what the
Not
best
Dave
match
Meltzer.
is. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Five star and then turned to six stars. Like, what the hell? the hell's next? Like, next thing you go, oh, 10 star matches. Like, what the fuck?
So
I
where I
thought it
was
was
going.
five.
So where I was going with that was, their whole moniker is AEW, it's where the best wrestle. Ricochet recently made some comments about WWE that WWE tarnishes legacies. He feels that it has tarnished his legacy in a way. And he goes and he starts naming off other wrestlers, like Sami Zayn is on the list, and Shinsuke Nakamura. And he starts listing all these wrestlers who had Tozawa, I believe, is one of them, for all their success that they had outside of WWE. But then they get to WWE and they're not where the level where they were outside of WWE. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So to him, he was saying like all these wrestlers' legacies are tarnished right now because they're in WWE and how they're being used in WWE, and that they're not the same person that they were outside of WWE as a result. So their legacy is not that good because of what WWE has done to them, so to speak, or how they've been used in WWE.
Okay. So let's give an example. Okay, Taka Michinoku, for example, right? Okay. He was a promising young star in Michinoku Pro, right? He's working his heels and everything. Then he went to WWE. Well, WWF at the time, become the light heavyweight champion. Okay, and then went on to become a comedic character. Whether we like it or not, that's what it was, right? A comedic character. For several years.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of fans still remember Taka Michinoku. And I know that for a fact because I was talking to promoters.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then promoters remember him as the tag team Kai and Tai more than when he was, the light heavyweight champion that beat Brian Christopher.
Yep.
So, in terms of so-called legacy, right? Or anything like, how are you going to define that? And what kind of quote unquote legacy does Ricochet has other than those flippy floppy matches with Will Ospreay on the Indies and New Japan when they were doing the junior stuff? Right. Just because he was delegated to mid-card in WWE, there was a pecking order, and still is, there's a pecking order now in WWE as it has for years. There's a certain look that WWE will always go for if you are, if you're able to be at the main event. Okay, there had been several that broke the mold. Mick Foley being one, Bryan Danielson being another. Okay, but what did Ricochet have in order for him to move to the very top of WWE? Like, it, from let's pull that back. Instead of, being a quote unquote wrestling person to an average day Joe, What did he have that majority of the people that didn't have, other than the flippy floppy stuff? If you look at him in front of you, yes, he looks like an athlete. But are you going to go, hey, he's going to be this badass wrestler that's going to be a main event sort of deal? I mean, don't get me wrong, Ricochet had no hair, looks much better with hair. I mean, we saw a picture of him having a bad hair day already. But still, like, how are you going to define yourself of WWE having messing up legacies? I would say Tozawa, before he went to WWE, he wasn't even earning a decent amount of money, because he was wrestling in a small promotion in Japan. Yes, he did some indie work in the US and whatever, he was making a living, he could get by, but nothing compared to what WWE paid him. Not to mention being in a prominent fixture, on the show and stuff like that. Okay, let me give another example. Yoshi. You know him, I know him. To this day, I was just talking to him like 2 weeks ago. This time of year, he's a little bit down, stuff like that, because he sees the Rumble, he sees a Mania, and he was still telling me, go one day I want to go back to WWE. Okay, and we both know that later in his career, he was being put as a more comedic character, right? And there he is, after all these years, she was still saying that I want to go back to WWE one day. So, and the thing was, before he was in WWE, he was a young lion in New Japan. Okay. I don't care what the Japanese media say about Yoshi and all that stuff, right? Because they were never kind to him in the first place. But if you look at it, he was one of those guys that crawled from the developmental all the way to he was essentially one of those guys that gave up everything that he had in Japan, because he was potentially was going to be pushed up to the ladder for New Japan at the time, had he stayed. He didn't. He moved to the US, okay, with the fact that whoever that was handling him left him cold and dry outside of the training center in freezing cold. Had it not been Teddy Biazi Jr., he would be like, what the hell is going on, right? You know the story. I know the story.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And that's the thing. And and no matter how you look at it, he did build a legacy in WWE, right? 7 years in WWE, he did something that a lot of people that, a lot of Japanese talents would dream to be in.
You're 100% right. And I know I'm from the golden era of professional wrestling, but as a kid, everybody, the whole I want to become a pro wrestler thing, whether you were a kid, someone on the independent scene, everybody wanted to go to, at the time, it was WWF. I mean, you can even watch Beyond the Mat, where Shark Boy literally says the goal is to get to the WWF. But now there is also WCW, so either or.
AEW, not WCW.
Well, no, at the time it was for
Oh,
him, it
at the
was,
time, okay, yeah.
yeah, because TNA wasn't even a thing. It was
Right.
still WWF, WCW. So he had said, the goal is WWF, but I'd take WCW too, he said. And I've always been very adamant. You can agree or disagree.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care, or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour, plus access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Three. But my whole thing has been, and I know it's, when you hear it, you haven't made it till you made it to WWE.
True.
They are the top wrestling promotion, sports entertainment promotion of all time.
Right.
Even if you just have a small little blimp in the company, an in and out sort of thing. And I know times have changed since the 1990s, and we're in 2026. I mean, I have a lot of friends who have kids that love wrestling, that, obviously they watch all sorts of different companies, but still I hear out of people, and this is no offense to any company, I don't hear people say they want to go to NWA. I don't hear people say they want to go to AEW. I don't hear them say they want to go to TNA. I hear them say they want to go to WWE. I know that, Taka might not have liked the end of what he did in WWF, and I can't blame him for it. However, it still left something that people remember about him in WWF. I mean, I remember him for coming in for the light heavyweight tournament and all of that, and in the one match where, like, they really showcased Taka, where you were like, holy crap, why aren't they pushing him, was his match against Triple H in what, 01?
Exactly.
That match right there should have had them, everyone in the back, including Triple H, look at Vince and go, why haven't we pushed him? Because that was such an incredible performance. Like, they, after all those years, they finally showcased Taka for what he could really do in the ring. And they didn't give him that opportunity when they changed him into that comedy role. But that match was just, that was such a standout match to everybody.
I mean, you look at what, when you look at a big company, right? I mean, I can easily say there were so many talents in AEW that might have their legacy tarnished. I mean, yes, Okada had been doing stuff in AEW, but besides the matches, his character's just like, what the fuck is that?
I felt like he was definitely used better in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
No shit. But he was on the very fucking top.
But I don't right? I don't think AEW necessarily knows how to use talents from New Japan Pro Wrestling that well.
Jay White. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I know he got injured and everything, but you know, once he got to AEW, you just like, you know, if there are fans that don't watch New Japan and saw Jay White for the first time, you're gonna be like, yeah, what's so special about him? Right? You know, that's the feeling that you're gonna get. And you know, and a lot of guys that came in, I mean, you know, I have said it before that I got so upset with Lance Archer didn't beat Hangman Adam Page for the AEW title to a point that I stopped watching AEW. Right? Like, you know, multiple times that they could properly push Lance. You know, the TNT title at the time, right?
Yep.
When he was having this this program with Cody. And then, you know, after that, he would just pull inside.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, every company does that. When you have a big roster, some people are going to get dumbed down. Some people are going to get moved up. It's life. So for him to even say that, it's just sort of like, man, you haven't looked at your own company, have you? Like, you know, 150 wrestlers on the fucking roster. You know, not everybody's going to be a fucking main eventer, for crying out loud.
Yes. And that's why when I heard and read, well, when I read Ricochet's comments, I was just like, well, I mean, you could go anywhere and any company can do that to you if that's how you feel. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I know he probably wasn't happy with his spot in WWE, you know, because he was so used to being maybe a main attraction of sort on the indies. But you can't use the indie mindset, you know, to go into WWE. You know, he went through the entire NXT. He should have known. I mean, the only thing that people actually remember him were two things. One, being thrown out of the ring by Braun Strowman when they were attacking. So, you know, he could land on people.
Yeah.
Right? Another one, it's that backflip to a point that he you know, that he stood outside the ring.
Yeah.
Those were the two main stuff that people remember. It's like people were talking about, you know, having one moment in WWE where people remember you, right? Paul London, for example. What's the biggest stuff that Paul London was remember for, other than that grin that eventually got him fired from WWE?
There was the insane clothesline he took at the Rumble from Stinsky.
Exactly. That was the one that pretty much majority of people remember.
The honorable mention for me is when he was wrestling on Velocity on Saturday nights, which no one really watched anyway, but
I
did too when I was younger. Yeah. An episode of Velocity, he slid so far into the ring, he slid from all the way to the other side on the outside of the ring.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
You know, so that's the other thing.
When
he
was having that stompy entrance, right? Like, he came in, it was stomp.
He, like,
on the ramp, and then he would run.
Yeah, he ran all the way down, and he just slid so freaking far. He went all the way to the other side. It was just awesome.
I don't know which one is funnier, that or the one that Titus O'Neil fell when he was in
Oh
Saudi.
yeah. They actually replayed that recently, and you could actually see like where they were talking about if he was just like a few inches over, he would have been dead.
Really?
Oh yeah, you could like because a few inches over to the right, there's a steel beam literally right there, and he
Holy
would have
shit.
hit it. Yeah. So like at the time, like they were all talking like how funny it was, this and that, and then it was on the pre-show for this year at the Rumble because they pointed it out. They brought that up again as like moments that happened and stuff like that. But they sh like someone, I think it was like Corey Graves. I can't remember who said it. Somebody on the pre-show was like pointed out, just a 2 inches over or like whatever, or like a foot over, whatever it was. The steel beam was right there, and he would have hit his head right on that beam. Yeah, and they were like, and I can't remember who said it on the pre-show, but they were like, if he would have hit that, this would have been a whole different story that we'd be talking about.
Damn.
Yeah, and then like when they
I never
showed,
thought of that. Damn.
yeah, and then when they you'll have to watch the replay, but when I saw it and you see the curtain move as Titus is going, it's literally right there. Like, it was no joke. It's right there, that steel beam. Yeah, like crazy. I was just because I saw it and I was like, didn't even realize it at the time. So that was, yeah. But
Shit.
they, yeah. I mean, before I knew it, I thought it was the funniest thing ever, to be honest with you. I laughed hysterically, like Corey Graves and Michael Cole and everything. And then when they replayed it at the Rumble and someone pointed it out, and then I saw the beam, I was like, oh, it's not that funny anymore now. Like, that man's lucky.
I know.
Like, holy, like, wow. It's kind of funny you brought up Dave earlier in his lovely five-star matches. So, I don't know why this wasn't an issue before when this particular superstar was in AEW. Dave has come out, or at least Brian Alvarez, possibly. I don't remember who. I read about it today and I forgot which one said it. But the newest member of the WWE roster, Royce Keyes, the man that everyone a couple of weeks ago as Powerhouse Hobbs
Yeah, and then nobody remembers him afterwards.
was wishing him a couple of weeks ago, they were wishing him a happy 35th birthday. Well, now according to one that Royce Keyes isn't 35, that he's actually 41. And has lied about his age.
Well, what does age matter in wrestling anymore? I mean, majority of top guys in WWE are like over 40 anyway.
Right. And it's weird because, like, if you look, if you go on Google, it now says that he is 41 years old. And before that, it had said that he was 35, and his Wikipedia page had his birth date as 35. And now, all of a sudden, the Wikipedia page doesn't have his birth date on there. At least the last time I checked today, it wasn't on there.
That's, I mean, like I said, what does age matter now in wrestling? I mean, we got Ric Flair, 78 years old, still wanted to do another match.
Yeah, he said that on KNS WrestleFest on their live that he wanted to do another match, and then I saw Charlotte like tweeted and said absolutely not. So.
I mean, in the 90s, right? When you looked at Dory Funk at over 40 years old doing the fucking acai moonsault, you were thinking, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
And then you saw Dory Funk Jr. doing explosive barbed wire match in Japan at like 70 some years old. And now Flair wants to come back out and do another match at 78. 41 is young now in wrestling.
I agree.
I mean, fucking All Truth is like what, over 50? Is it 54?
He's 52 or 54. Hell, I
Yeah.
mean, Action Mike Jackson is 75 and still going.
Exactly.
I mean, he's healthy enough to still going. Ric Flair, take a hint.
Oh,
I'm just saying, like, the man like passed out in the ring and supposedly had like a heart attack in the ring and stuff in his last match. Like, no, he does not need to wrestle. Charlotte's right.
don't is it because Flair wants another payday? I mean, don't get me wrong, Flair, when he was in his fucking prime, holy shit, he could out-wrestle anybody. But, he doesn't need to do that anymore. Go do autograph signings, meet and greet and stuff like that,
Right. So, with Flair at 78, again, I was joke making a joke about it, but I don't think Flair's a healthy 78 to step back in the ring.
After that surgery where he almost died, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think another guy is Jerry Lawler. I have heard a rumor from someone that what's sort of close to Jerry, and that after the last stroke that he had, apparently there were days where he sees people that he just don't recognize some people from the past, and there are, there are times where, he actually remembers those people. So, greet those people and everything. But, when you are at a certain age, you gotta understand you're not young anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, shit, I'm 45 going 46, right? I know for a fact that I'm nowhere near when I was in my early 20s. That's just
Yeah.
life.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've had this shoulder operated on. I have an artificial hip. I gotta have this shoulder operated on. Like,
Mean, shit, you're essentially Iron Man for crying out.
yeah. Like the days of me doing any stuff like that are long gone. I know Roddy Piper wrestled with an artificial hip. That's great on him. No, thank you. I've been getting phone calls throughout this whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, and we've had to stop a couple times because it's become a little too much. The real world is getting involved in this podcast today, and I don't mean MTV's reality show. Is that even still a thing anymore? I have no
That
idea.
shows our age, man. I'm sorry. Like,
You're right.
I'm still at the time where they have Surreal Life and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
and like MTV True Life, and you know, they still had music videos on MTV and VH1, and
Do they even have music videos on MTV anymore?
no, they stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
They had like a whole channel for that, and they like shut it down, I guess.
Damn.
Yeah. You know, back when Flavor Flav had his own reality show where women were competing for his love. That's
Wow.
you were laughing so loud the audio didn't even pick that up.
Like, oh man, I miss the 90s and the early 2000s. Let's just put it like that.
I have to agree. When do you think wrestling was at its best?
To me, I mean, obviously, Boomtown, the boom time is always going to be the 80s. Where you had all these outrageous characters and like, there are distinguishments in certain style of wrestling. Now, here's a problem. Everybody wants to blend into one big thing. So there's none of that distinguishment anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, everybody wants to do a chop, like how the Japanese do it, right? Whereas before is that, if you're doing a knife ass chop where half the arena can actually hear it, you're most likely into that Japanese style, or at the very least, you are probably Japanese talent, right? If you are, have a mask and stuff like that, you're pretty much gonna be a South American, whether you're from Mexico or Puerto Rico or whatever, right? Now it's just sort of like, this guy's doing like all the styles, like combined into one and all that. I mean, don't get me wrong, we had Chris Benoit. Right, we had Eddie Guerrero. Okay, we had Dean Malenko. Those guys. Okay, that travel around the world, adapting into different styles. We have someone like Owen Hart, for example, that would have done the same thing, right? But at the same time, you would have a whole lot more distinguishment in terms of how talent worked. And right now, it just seemed like everybody's doing flips. Everybody jumping off from the top rope. I mean, how many suicide planche that we're going to see tonight? How many corkscrew planche are we going to see tonight? Right? In one single show, and you're going to be like, oh, this guy does it, this guy does it, this guy does it. There's no distinguishment for matches. And it's just like, I mean, I prime example that I was I got a show coming up in March, right, in the Philippines,
Yep.
and I was talking to the promoter because I basically I'm kind of like I'm the money guy for the show, at the same time bringing my own talents, obviously, but at the same time, I think I was booking just one thing because the promoter trusts me enough for me to book it, right? But all the other stuff are his. All the bookings and stuff, are his. And he basically laid it out to me what kind of match that he's gonna have on the show. And it's so versatile. Like, okay, this guy and this guy wrestle, they're going to be wrestling in this style of match. This guy and this guy wrestle, they're going to be wrestling in this style of match. Okay, so you're going to know, hey, you know what? Everything's sort of different. You're not going to get those, hey, you know what? We got this high flying ass matches. That's totally fucking insane. And then, the next match is the same fucking thing that people are not going to know who's who. Right?
Right.
So that, I think, is something that a lot of promoters will need to understand. Because if a tiny ass promotion in Philippines actually understand that, and a lot of these indie promoters don't in the US, that tells you how much we, you know, how much we have felt back from wrestling bookings, from the whole sort of wrestling mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, it is what it is.
Wow. I don't know why, but like I'm kind of mind blown a little bit. Like a bomb just went off in my head. Welcome back.
Yeah, your cat came back.
Yeah, he usually makes an appearance on screen, and this is either food time or he actually just really wants attention. It's one of the two.
Well, my cat actually woke me up this morning.
Yeah.
My ragdoll, which is the one that I hate, that there were so many times I wanted to kick him out of the house until my wife tried to stop it.
Yeah, he's this is an attention one. He wants attention, so that's why he came up. And you know, speaking of attention, you have some stuff coming up.
Oh,
going
God.
Live. Yeah. Talk about
we
it.
Got the KWK Live coming up on Fake Heels YouTube channel February 15th, so this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's funny as well. It's like, you know, I don't know who planned this, but, you know, apparently the New York Toy Fair is February 14th. So, you know, right on Valentine's Day. So, you know, obviously, you know, if you know the New York Toy Fair usually goes all the way, you know, on the entire weekend. So we decided to do a YouTube Live every single year. And, you know, with Fake Heel. And this year, we got quite a lot of stuff planned. So we have video messages from Wolfie D from PG-13, and also another mystery guest in video message that will be announcing him and his tag team partners' figures. We're gonna have, because I so want to do this, and we're gonna get Mario Mancini onto the show. So, because he hasn't seen the actual figure completely done, you know, fully colored in prototype form. So I want people to actually witness how he felt, how he's going to feel when he's going to be looking at the figure. So, you know, it's going to be quite a spectacle, because he has wanted his own action figure for his entire life. And, you know, his family wanted the figure so bad. And, you know, being one of the top job guys in you know, in WWF, like, ever, he deserves
yeah.
one. So, you know, we, you know, and not only that, because he's also the KWK legal advisor, so, you know, it's a no-brainer to get him one, right? and I love Leonard. He's so good. He's so good. And not only that, we also going to unveil a lot of info about what we're going to have this year. I think some of the sculpt, and you've seen them, I think a lot of people are going to be, like, absolutely blown away. I mean, at least in my opinion, I think at least two or three prototypes that are going to be shown. I think people are going to get the holy shit moment.
Dude, just from what I've seen, yeah. Fans, you have to tune in on you have to tune in to Sunday with Fig Heels on YouTube. We'll have the link in the description. You do not want to miss out on this. Do not miss this. Mark it in your calendars. Get on your Apple Watch and get stuff going. Set it in your calendar on your phone. Set every reminder that you can.
It's going to be February 15th at 1 o'clock.
There you have it, folks. Sunday, February 15th, 1 p.m., Fig Heels YouTube channel to watch KWK Live for the New York Toy Fair. I promise you, I've had some like little backstage, like little sneak peeks. I promise you, it's amazing. It's
I think
amazing.
it's probably going to be our best yet. Like
Yeah.
over the past 3 years, I think the in terms of the lineup this year, what we have, I think honestly, in terms of the retro slash Hasbro style, I think this year's probably our best one yet.
Oh, yeah, it is such a great, great mix of talent.
I
It's a
mean,
great mix.
the thing is, right? If you look at when I first started, okay, we had Mantle, Keen News, Yoshi, Comic Kid slash Maximum, right? That was the first form that we did.
Yeah.
And then I know some people said we kind of slumped a little bit with Lost Conquistadors, Taka, TJP, and La Resistance, okay? It was because we came out too strong, I think. With Mantar and Max Moon and even PNUs and Yoshi, they were all very, very good figures. And then, some of the figures that we had were kind of a little bit more lackluster in terms of the looks and things like that, in comparison to what we had in Series One. And then, we sort of bounced back last year with the re-release of Max Boone, and then, multiple Barry Hallwoods. Like, we literally bombard everybody with Barry Hallwoods, right? We our best figure last year, Berserker, Bull Nakano, right? I mean, even Oxbaker people felt amazing. Right,
Yeah.
and we moved on to from people were shitting on Well Done to a point where they thought Well Done were amazing figures, to same thing with now that's on their way to the US and all our distributors, Orient Express. There were people that were hating on Orient Express as well, saying, oh, it doesn't look like him, and like all that kind of stuff. And then now again. Now it came out, we practically, I think we almost sold out of Orient Express figures and Flash Funk as well. So, our distributors, they're still like very limited amount of them, like with Orient Express and Flash Funk. But, because they're so good and we are controlling the production amount a whole lot more this year. So, we're basically avoiding overstocks. And yeah, they are gone very, very quickly because, and they're way less available.
Yeah, and fans, you can find some of these figures. ShopKWK.com. Just saying. Go check it out. I promise you, you will leave with things in your shopping cart, checked out, being delivered to your house. I promise you.
Okay, if you don't want to shop at shopkw.com because the shipping is too high, I understand that. But you can also get them from jjfigures.com, eBay store, Square Circle Toys. If you are pre-ordering, you can still go to theasylumwrestlingstore.com. If you are in Australia, I know we probably have some Australian listeners. You can always go to gofigurescollectible.com.au. If you are in Europe, you can go to thewrestlingstore.eu. Or if you're Italian, you can go with .it if you want to. For Canada, I'm sure we got Canadian listeners. So if you're in Canada, go to collectandconnect.ca. I kept thinking it was .com, but it's actually CA. Yeah, we have distributors every part of the world. If you are in the UK, just go to shopkwa.com. We ship directly. We have a little warehouse in the UK, so you know you'll get yours in no time.
And fans, remember, spoiler-free's the way to be. We're out.